My name is Shane Fisher, and I have with me Ben Bailey.
The Scripture says, "Be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. I'm Ben Bailey, and this is Shane Fisher. And as we think today about answering denominational doctrines, we're going to continue our study of the Mormon or LDS Church. What does the Bible say about Latter-day Saints? What does God say about the Book of Mormon and Mormon doctrine? Friend, as we think about these matters, we again want to impress upon our listeners and upon all those who hear this that our motive is simply to preach the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. We want you to know that God loves you and God loves me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that a person can and must know the truth, and it's that truth that will set them free. And while it is the case that we want to expose that which is the work of darkness, Ephesians 5 verse 11, and we want to contend earnestly for the faith, Jude verse 3, realize that our motive is because we love the souls of men and women and we want them to go to heaven. And we realize, just as in the day of Jesus, there were many false teachers, so it is today that we must build our faith on the truth of God's Word and put our trust in that. Shane, we've been discussing some problems between the Book of Mormon and the Bible. Mm-hmm. And last time we looked at a quote from Brigham Young, where Brigham Young said, "Take the Book of Mormon, take the Bible." He gave a challenge, see if the two don't add up. And we looked at several places where that just didn't mesh. Yeah. And so we see that it's not God's fault. God properly transcribed, gave us the Bible. There's ample evidence. And just recap just maybe that last one for us where we talked about the virgin birth of Jesus. What is it that Joseph Smith said?
Yeah, I think it was Joseph F. Smith. He talked about how the Holy Spirit did not beget the Jesus. You know, it says that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it said not begotten by the Holy Spirit. And I just thought that was, you know, what this contradicted Matthew chapter 2.
Yeah, he said it was natural birth, not by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1, though, says it clearly wasn't. So, again, we saw a clear case where the two did not add up. Now, mm-hmm. Today we want to think about how we can see and how we can know from the Bible and from history and even from the Book of Mormon that it's not from God. And Shane, again, we don't want people to think we're trying to belittle or demean anybody. You know, it's not about them and us or anything like that. All we want to do is look at the evidence and see. And so what is the evidence that shows the Book of Mormon and Mormonism is not from God?
When I talk to Latter-day Saints, they'll say, really, the LDS Church stands or falls on Joseph Smith being a prophet. And so if we show evidence that he was not a true prophet, then, of course, the foundation of Mormonism crumbles. And so that's what we want to do, is ask the question, was he truly a prophet from God? And we want to look at some specific prophecy. But before we do, I want you to remember what the Bible says in regards to predicted prophecy. We can think about Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. I want you to listen very closely to what it says. The Bible says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." So in that context of what Isaiah is talking about is that he's putting in contrast to these idols that Israel was worshiping versus the true and living God who has that great foreknowledge. And of course, because God knows the future, He can, in specific details, know the events that are going to occur. And that's why He gives them to His prophets and showing that His prophets are really from Him. And I see the other verses in chapter 46, and if you want to look at verse 8, the Bible says this, Remember this, and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. So you see there, Ben, what we've been studying about predictive prophecy, that God is able to predict the future and use instruments such as prophets, such as Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel to do so.
And so when we think about Joseph Smith, whether he's a prophet or not, really we're doing what 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says. Test the prophets to see where they have gone. For many false prophets are test the spirits. Many have gone out into the world. I can't help but think of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22, which gives a kind of a litmus test for whether one is a prophet or not. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, the Bible says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And so the people are wondering, well, God, let's say that somebody says, I've got a message from God. We've got a message from you and through this man. Someone claims up and says, I'm a prophet of God. How do we know what is and what isn't really your word? And God says, well, here's the test. If the prophet tells you something and it doesn't come true, then God said, don't be afraid of their message. Don't worry about them. They're not my prophet. And so, really, there are two ways you can know in the Bible. You can know someone was a prophet of God. For example, John 3, verse 1, you could know by a miracle. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no one can do the things you do unless God is with him. And so, either a bona fide miracle must be performed to prove one is a prophet, which Joseph Smith didn't do that, or you can look at predictive prophecy. He says, I'm a prophet, then he gives some prophecy, and if it comes to pass, well, we better listen up. But if it doesn't, what do we know? That man's not a prophet of God. And so, Shane, let's think for just a moment about that test. We know there aren't any miracles claimed necessarily, but there are predictive prophecies that we can look at, and we can look at these and see, okay, here's what he said, here's what happened, here's the conclusion. Let's think about that for just a moment. Give us some idea along those lines.
Well, what we want to look at is some specific prophecies in Doctrine and Covenants, which was supposed revelations that were given to Joseph Smith. And, you know, the LDS Church claims that these are inspired of God. So let's put it to the test. Let's see if they're right. I want to go to Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 84, verses 1 through 5. And I actually had the opportunity to go to Independence, Missouri and visit around and see the Visitor Center of the Latter-day Saints. And I actually asked a lady there, and she talked about how there was supposed to have been a temple built there at that temple court. But it's not there. Now, I just want to read very carefully because the Mormons, they had been run out quite a few times, and now they were in what was known as to them the land of promise in Missouri. And I want to listen very carefully what Joseph Smith says here. He says, a revelation of Jesus Christ unto his servant Joseph Smith Jr. and six elders as they united their hearts and lifted their voices on high. Yea, the word of the Lord concerning his church established in the last days for the restoration of his people, as he has spoken by the mouth of his prophets, and for the gathering of his saints to stand upon Mount Zion, which shall be the city of the New Jerusalem. Which city shall be built, beginning at the temple Lot, which is appointed by the finger of the Lord, in the western boundaries of the state of Missouri, and dedicated by the hand of Joseph Smith, Jr., and others with whom the Lord was well pleased. Verily, this is the word of the Lord, that the city, New Jerusalem, shall be built by the gathering of the saints, beginning at this place, even the place of the temple, which temple shall be reared in this generation. For verily, this generation shall not all pass away until a house shall be built unto the Lord, and a cloud shall rest upon it, which cloud shall be even the glory of the Lord, which shall fill the house. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this prophecy that was given. This city of New Jerusalem is going to be built here in Missouri. There's going to be a temple that's going to be built. And it's not going to pass until this generation. Now, as I look at that, Ben, that is, you know, that's either true or false. Now, what some Latter-day Saints will do is they'll quibble on the word generation because, you see, there's never been a temple built there on that temple lot. In fact, it's not even owned by the Latter-day Saints in Utah. It's owned by another LDS denomination. And so, very interesting enough, you know, some people will quibble and say, well, you know, a generation can mean hundreds or 120, 140. Who knows? I mean, who really knows? But Orson Pratt, whom we talked about before, was a supposed prophet of the LDS Church. And he says something about this prophecy. And I just want to read it very quickly. It says, "The generation has not passed away. All the people that were living 39 years ago have not passed away. But before they do pass away, this will be fulfilled." Now, Orson Pratt, being a prophet, he's saying this generation, 30 years ago, these people, some of them are still living, and this is going to be fulfilled. But as we know, Ben, it has not been fulfilled. It's not been fulfilled in that generation's lifetime.
And so we basically ask two questions, Shane. Number one, is that generation still alive? And we've got Orson Pratt, another prophet on record, saying it's not. And so here's what you know. Joseph Smith made the prophecy. Orson Pratt, another prophet, came and said generation means these people's lifetime, and it didn't happen. The second question, did that temple get built? Well, you can go and see that it wasn't built, it was never built, and it won't be built in their generation. And so what do we know? Here's what you can know. Joseph Smith made that prophecy. It did not come true. Orson Pratt gave more details to show it was in a limited time frame. It did not happen in their generation. It has not happened. It will not happen because he's not a prophet of God. And so remember Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 22. If what a prophet says does not come to pass, don't believe him. Friend, here's what you can know. Joseph Smith was not a prophet of God. Prophets of God don't get it wrong. They don't miss it. What they say always, without fail, comes to pass. Shane, another deals with the land of promise. You know, as I heard what you were reading about the temple, sounds like a lot of merging with what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, the generation. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody who's got just a little bit of Bible knowledge knows, well, he must have been reading Matthew 24 when he came up with that, or at least thinking about it. Well, the land of promise is some more merging. You know, under the Old Testament, that land of promise was given to Abraham. God made the promise to Abraham, I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Your seed shall be like the stars of the heaven, the sand of the sea. And we know that when Joshua took the people in, they inherited that land of promise. But Shane, as we think about some of the passages in Doctrine and Covenants, mm-hmm. What's the deal with the land of promise prophecy here?
Well, the Lord said that they would, that Missouri, that was the place for the land that they're going to be established in. But let's read very carefully because I want us to know what the Lord says through Joseph Smith. This is Doctrine and Covenants 57:1-3. "Hearken, O ye elders of my church, saith the Lord your God, who hath assembled yourselves together according to my commandments in this land, which is the land of Missouri, which is the land which I have appointed and consecrated for the gathering of the saints. Wherefore, this is the land of promise and the place of the city of Zion. And thus saith the Lord your God, if ye will receive wisdom, here is wisdom. Behold, the place which is now called Independence is the center place, and a spot for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse." And you can also find it in chapter 62, same thing that's given. But what occurred in Missouri? They were driven out of Missouri.
And so what a stark contrast to what you see when Jeremiah or Isaiah or Malachi or Daniel makes some prophecy, it comes to pass. When Joseph Smith made a prophecy, they actually did the opposite of what the prophecy said. It wasn't the land of promise. They ran them out of Missouri. There's no temple there. Well, what do we know from that? Again, let's drive the point home. When a prophet says something, if that does not come to pass, he's not a prophet of God. Friend Joseph Smith, we've got on record two prophecies so far, did not come to pass. Therefore, he was not, is not a prophet of God. Now, Shane, Joseph Smith had a little bit of a, we could say, an inkling toward, a liking toward the fanciful, toward wealth, toward things of that nature. Tell us a little bit about some things that occurred maybe in Salem, Massachusetts.
All right. He went up to Salem, Massachusetts to acquire silver. And I want you to listen very carefully to what Doctrine and Covenants 111 says. Begin with verse 1. I, the Lord your God, am not displeased with your coming this journey, notwithstanding your follies. I have much treasure in this city for you, for the benefit of Zion, and many people in the city whom I will gather out in due time for the benefit of Zion through your instrumentality. Therefore it is expedient that you should form acquaintance with men in the city, as you shall be led, and it shall be given you. And it shall come to pass in due time that I will give the city into your hands, that you shall have power over it, insomuch that they shall not discover your secret parts, and its wealth pertaining to gold and silver shall be yours. Concern not yourselves about your debts, for I will give you power to pay them. Concern not yourselves about Zion, for I will deal mercifully with her. Tarry in this place and in the regions round about, and the place where it is my will that you should tarry. For the main shall be signalized unto you by the peace and power of my Spirit that shall flow unto you. This place you may obtain by hire, and acquire diligently concerning the more ancient inhabitants and founders of the city. For there are more treasures than one for you in the city. Therefore be as wise as serpents, and yet without sin. And I'll order all things for your good, as fast as you're able to receive them. Amen. Well, he went to Salem, Massachusetts, and guess what happened? He didn't acquire any gold or silver. He didn't pay off his debts. So once again, what do we recognize, Ben? Even if there's just one false prophecy, that makes Joseph Smith a false prophet.
You know, Shane, this would be just a tall tale in our minds if it weren't for the fact that Joseph Smith has labeled this from God. You know, we ask some questions relative to this prophecy. Who did Smith hear gold and silver would be in Salem from?
From the Lord.
From the Lord. And so this just isn't it a tall tale. God told, allegedly, God told Joseph Smith, you go to Salem, gold and silver waits there for you. Well, we ask another question. If God promised this wealth, why was it there was no money forthcoming? It wasn't God who promised it. Mm-hmm. We might ask, was Salem ever given into Joseph Smith's hands to have power over it? God said it would.
But once again, we see it wasn't.
And so all of these prophecies, none actually happened. You know, there's another prophecy as it relates to the temple and the things in Missouri and this Nuevo city that Joseph Smith was going to build. Listen to these words. Concerning the saints in Nuevo, Joseph Smith said, I prophesy in the name of the Lord God. Hear this. I prophesy in the name of the Lord God, as soon as we get the temple built, we will have means to gather the saints by thousands and tens of thousands. Later, he said, at a council of the leading men of this community in Nuevo, it was concluded that on finishing the temple there, a company of 1,000 or 1,500 pioneers should establish themselves in the mountains to prepare the way for a safe retreat. Our numbers in Nuevo were reduced to a mere handful. The Battle of Nuevo was fought on September 1846. In April 1847, we started from winter quarters with 143 men instead of 1,000 as pioneers. And so here again, Shane, Joseph Smith says, I prophesy. What do you mean, Joseph? I prophesy in the name of the Lord. God is putting His stamp of approval on this. There are going to be saints in Nuevo. There's going to be this many. When we build the temple, this is going to happen. Thousands. When we build the temple, this is going to happen. Well, what happened?
Only a handful.
Nothing happened there even. And so again, you've got this man making these prophecies, saying, in the name of the Lord, and then none of it happens. It wasn't 1,000, it wasn't 1,500, just a handful. And then there's no temple on top of that. Shane, with this much evidence, surely people can see this man wasn't a prophet of God. Tell us about some more of the prophecy.
Well, they were building this temple in Nauvoo, Illinois, and it says in History of the Church, Volume 5, Page 285, the Lord says to him, you will build the Nauvoo house. You will then be on Pisgah's top, and the great men will come from the four corners of the earth, will pile the gold and silver into it until you are weary of receiving them. Well, I'm sorry, that just did not occur. And that's very simple because of what we saw in Salem, Massachusetts. He did not acquire gold and silver. Well, same here. He wasn't going to have gold and silver that was going to be put forth in this Nauvoo house.
So, Shane, let's ask this real practical question. Let's get the implication of all this. Shane, what does this teach us about Joseph Smith?
It teaches us that he wasn't being true. It teaches us he was false. It teaches us that he was a con man. I mean, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but we must take the truth in love.
Okay, let's take that a step further then. If Joseph Smith gave false prophecies, and if the whole of the Book of Mormon depends on him being a prophet, what do we learn about the Book of Mormon and its doctrines?
They're not true either.
There's just no validity to them. Friend, again, we're not trying to be unkind. We're not trying to be unfriendly. But if the Bible says, and if Joseph Smith claimed to be a prophet, and it just didn't come true, not once, not twice, but on multiple occasions, if Joseph Smith prophesied things and said with God's stamp of approval, in the name of the Lord, and then on every occasion these things didn't occur, what can I know? I can know, number one, Joseph Smith is not a prophet of God. He is venerated as one. He is revered as one. He is held up as one in the supposedly Latter-day Saints movement. But the evidence shows he was not. And if that's the case, listen carefully. We say as kindly and yet as clearly as we know how, the Book of Mormon is nothing more than a farce. It's a hoax. It is the tall tales and the fantasies of Joseph Smith, who the evidence has shown is not a prophet. And again, we don't say that to be unkind. But friend, the evidence demands that. Joseph Smith was not a spokesman of God. The Book of Mormon is not a message from God. And people need to know. Shane, people need to know these things because millions of people, this is why it's so serious. Millions of people on the Day of Judgment are going to hear the words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you," because they believed the lie. How sad that is. And so that's why we want people to hear this evidence.
Yeah, we want them to receive the love of the truth, as 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about some things in regards to the Book of Mormon. I mean, let's go a little bit deeper. 1 Nephi 1, verse 2, very interesting enough, the family of Lehi, he's the principally the main character, and along with his sons Laman and Nephi. Now, they just supposedly they knew that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed by the Babylonians, so they departed and went to North America. Now, it says very interesting enough about Nephi, his son. 1 Nephi 1 verse 2 says, "Yea, I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians." Now, I know the Jews know they knew Hebrew, but to know Egyptian just makes that very improbable. Because I think about how these were supposedly written in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, and Lehi lived all his days in Jerusalem. How can he come to acquire and know and study the Egyptian language?
Yeah, just very improbable that that would ever happen. And so that raises a red flag. How's a Jew learning Egyptian language when that wasn't something that they regularly or, you know, did regularly? So how could that be the case? It really makes us think, doesn't it, Shane?
It does. And I think about when you look in very carefully throughout the Book of Mormon, it uses the words baptism, Jesus Christ. These are Alpha and Omega. These are Greek words transliterated. I mean, the Alpha and Omega, you know, first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Think about Jesus Christ, Jesu Christu. I mean, that is Greek. How could Greek be translated from an Egyptian? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I understand Greek being transliterated into English because that's a one-step process. From Greek translated into English because they really sometimes didn't fully understand the word. Like baptizo.
Mm-hmm.
Baptism. Well, that's where it comes from. But from supposedly the language that Nehi and his family are speaking, through Egyptian, down through Greek, and yet we still get a Greek to English transliteration?
Right.
How does that work, Shane? It makes me wonder. Here's what it makes me wonder. Joseph Smith must have been reading the King James Bible, and some of our transliterations come into that. And so I wonder, how is it the case that
He's supposed to be a prophet of God, and yet his process goes back from Greek to English through transliteration, even through the King James. Well, why did God have to do that in a totally different period? It just, again, raises another red flag.
Right.
And so we think about the Book of Mormon. We think about these prophecies. We ask ourselves, does the evidence demand that Joseph Smith is a prophet, and does it demand that I adhere to his prophecies? Friend, it just doesn't. Failed prophecies prove Joseph Smith was not a prophet of God. Failed events that didn't happen and haven't happened and didn't happen during the time the people he said it would show that God wasn't behind that. God doesn't lie. Hebrews 6, verse 18. God doesn't change. Malachi 3, verse 6. When God's prophet said it, you could be sure it was going to happen down to the very minute detail. And yet, Joseph Smith and Mormon prophets just didn't get it right. Friend, here's what I know from all of that. This book, the Bible, stands true. Transcribed perfectly, given to us in the form God wanted us to have it, every prophecy being fulfilled in exacting detail, every message, the message that God wanted us to have. This is the inspired will of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved or guided by the Holy Spirit. And so we urge you today, won't you turn your attention to the book that's been tested and tried and true, the Bible? Won't you give yourself to a study of the will of God, and all we ask of you is to test and see. Test the Word. Test it and see. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And if this book, the Bible, is true, then friend, won't you obey it? Won't you give your life to the will of God? Trust that, which in every prophecy has come true, the Bible, the holy message of God, and then you can know, I'm right with the Almighty.